All right, I've got 6:30, so I'm going to call this meeting of the WPCA Privatization Committee to order right at 6:30. And as always, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty
and justice for all.
Okay, the roll call, Jim?
Here.
Charlie? Maybe joining us later. Anita? Not here. Chris?
Present.
Maria? Haven't seen her. And John?
Present.
Okay, so we have a quorum. I just want to explain the purpose of this meeting is to gather more information from our regulators about processes, not specific questions about any particular transaction, but just in general about the process and how these things work. And we'll have them in a minute. But I want to start the meeting as we always do with the public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak?
Yeah, Jack, I'd like to say something.
Okay, Adam, identify yourself, please.
Yep, Adam Simonson from Aquarian Water Company. Address is 835 Main Street, Bridgeport, Connecticut. I just wanted to thank the committee again for your work here on exploring this sale. You know, honestly, it takes a really special commitment to the community for all the time and effort that you've given up to do this. And I just want you to know me and the entire Aquarian team really, really appreciate it. It's not often I get to encounter groups of folks that are this eager to understand all the nuts and bolts of sewer infrastructure. And it's really just an important service I think you're providing to your neighbors and in the city. So I just wanted to thank you for that. And I just want to remind folks about a couple things about the deal that you do have in front of you. We originally answered an RFQ in June of 21, ultimately gave the city proposal in April of 2022. And we've really spent considerable time on it in every aspect of the proposals. Really, it's really got guided by three core pillars. One, produce a deal that's fair for Derby and fair for Aquarian. Secondly, produce a deal that's fair to the employees at the WPCA, which includes retaining the staff of the WPCA with pay and benefits better or comparable to what they enjoy today. And I think most importantly, really, produce a deal that has the highest likelihood of being the lowest cost to the Derby ratepayers over both the short and the long term, while still investing in the sewer infrastructure to meet all the regulatory requirements. If I and the Aquarian team didn't think that's what we were proposing, if we didn't think it would do all three of those, we wouldn't be here advocating for it. What we're trying to make sure we do here is produce a win-win that we all can collectively be proud of for many years to come. So as you continue to formulate those recommendations, we continue to stand ready any additional questions that you guys have. So thanks again to everybody.
Appreciate the comments, Adam, and again, appreciate the time that it's taken for you and all of your people and your willingness to respond to all our questions as well. We are all after the same result in the end, so thank you. All right, anyone else from the public wish to speak? Second time, anyone else from the public wish to speak? Third time, anyone else from the public wish to speak? All right, hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to close the public portion. It's going to be a committee member. Here we go.
Jim Blasquez, make a motion.
Jim made the motion. Portion. John, do you second that?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstained? Public portion is closed. So now we'll start with the first of our two guests tonight. You know. Ann. My picture's
wrong. No.
I want to thank Ann from Deep for agreeing so quickly to come on and help us with this. And, you know, Ann, this is a new experience for us. And we're trying to figure out how Deep would be involved in any potential privatization that we went to. So any information you could help us on how that would work would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I do have to say we did have one private company, Nifty's Permittees, sale to go through to a private entity, which I believe Veolia or Aquarian owns. I don't remember. We've had two attempts for municipalities to go private, and neither one has gone through, and that was New Haven and New Hartford and Stratford. And I was involved in the Stratford one in 2014. And when it went to the public, it did not go through. The public was adamantly against it, and they had lots of flyers and whatever. So you're going to have to talk it up with your public before you go to referendum. You know, otherwise you might die in the water like they did. This is not an easy process. We don't have a checklist to go through. I know some of the things that we went through before. One of them is that the sewer use funds and the benefit assessments have to stay with the plant because they can only be used on the plant and, you know, paying off debt for the plant. So you're going to have to be careful how you transfer or do those funds or take care of it, because you can't just put them in your general fund of the town without some sort of transfer going on. You know, maybe they go to Aquarian pays you back. I don't know. That's a legal question. So you're going to have, you know, there'll be tons of lawyers involved in this by the time we're done. So if you have any clean water fund outstanding obligations, I couldn't get an answer from the Clean Water Fund group whether you guys had any outstanding obligations. Those would have to be paid off before the sale could be completed. You know, whether you would pay them, Aquarian pays them, you pay them, Aquarian pays you back, that's between you guys, but they do have to be paid off. Any enforcement obligations we would have to discuss. Some might prevent you from sale. I don't believe any of the ones that I found would prevent the sale. So they, just so Aquarian knows, they would be transferred to Aquarian and they would be under obligation to finish the upgrade to the treatment plant. Let's see, I had a list going here. So some of the things that we would need to see, there would need to be a preparation and submission of a plan of operation from Aquarian, you know, so that DEEP would be satisfied how they would run the plant, how much staff, et cetera. We could talk about that more. You know, I'm just trying to be general.
Right. That's all we
you need. You know, yeah. There'd need to be some sort of submission of a request to transfer the permits. There are forms for that. I would help you with those forms. Those forms do come into DEEP and they go through every single unit within DEEP to make sure there's nothing outstanding before DEEP approves that transfer. If there's any outstanding obligations or any outstanding enforcement, we'd need some sort of written letter on how that was going to transfer, how it would work, whether it would be acceptable to Aquarian, et cetera. You guys would have to have a public hearing on the sale, obviously, of the plant with public notice, and then you'd have to have an referendum to make sure that you could do the sale. And I mean, so you're looking at another 6 to 12 months probably before the sale could be completed. And some of the considerations that we saw from the Stratford one was the town's role in the governance, if there will be any in the treatment plant, wastewater system, et cetera, in the future. Compensation used to pay any debts, taxes or other forms of compensation. You know, are you going to tax the treatment plant now? Will it be municipal land still or not? You know, since it's not owned by the municipality, do you tax them? Do you not tax them? There could be other forms of compensation. I'm sure that's in their agreement already, but you know, I just thought I would bring it up. He already talked about the effect on the current employees. And what you really need to consider is the benefit to customers and sell it to them in a way that makes sense to them, you know, because I don't know where Greater New Haven and Stratford fell short, but it didn't work for them. You know, so, and I wasn't involved in New Hartford, so.
At what point do you get involved? The city would have to have an agreement with a potential, I'm not using any names, with a potential buyer. And once that initial agreement is reached, that's the point where the city would contact DEEP? Or does something happen to happen before that?
I would, I believe the order that we went in last time was you work out an agreement of some sort, and then you sell it to the public and go to referendum before we start initiating any paperwork.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we could be looking for answers in the background on the Clean Water Fund question, any outstanding enforcement in any other areas of the agency that I'm unaware of. But none of that paperwork would start until the town went to referendum and everybody agreed that we're going forward with this.
Okay, I have another question kind of on the other side. If the city were to maintain it, you know, the city is currently has an water, okay? But I'm just gonna talk in general now again about any community that has an water to get something done in a certain amount of time. And obviously there's a cost to it.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if a city went to referendum, because most of this would be bonding, I'm sure, and referendums fail and the city can't get authorization to borrow the money? What happens then?
We have run into that before, and because you do have an order, a lot of times you're able to use city funds as the bond and to meet the Clean Water Fund obligation. That would be a discussion really between your bonding council and the state treasurer's office. But I know we've run into that before.
Yeah, well, again, that's a big question for me because, again, the costs are extreme and we've already borrowed, and the question is, could we go back to the ratepayers, the taxpayers again? So, okay, that's helpful. I'd open it up to any of the other committee members who might have a question.
Wow, I John Sack, you, and your comments, questions. I guess the first question I have is, we discussed this about going out to referendum. Do we actually have to go out to referendum for this sale?
I know everyone else has. Honestly, you'd have to talk to your legal counsel about that.
Okay.
You know, I know every town is different. So, you know, I don't know what your ordinances and everything else says about the sale of municipal owned property, et cetera.
So, Anne, in your experience with the other towns that have not been successful with this, what have been the barriers that you've seen? What have been the barriers that you have seen to a successful transition to a public purchase?
The biggest one is the townspeople don't want to get rid of something that they own. They don't think it's a good deal. You know, it is kind of what I got based on the numbers from the referendums that came back, the two, New Hartford and Stratford, I was a little more involved in, like I said, and they had a big publicity thing going, like there was things in the paper, the benefits and the, you know, what it gave to the town, what Greater New Haven was getting out of it, et cetera, et cetera. And the townsfolk still voted no. I think the biggest barrier you're going to have is welcome to New England. It's my stuff.
I hear you.
You know,
I
don't like
I
to give
you.
Up their
so
stuff.
So on the technical aspect of this, you had mentioned that you look at DEEP looks at how the plant will be run, et cetera, from a logistical standpoint. What about the, we have a couple of different options concerning how the plant will be upgraded in the future. So DEEP, I imagine, would have to approve the plan and the approach and how that plant physically would be upgraded. Is that true?
Yep, no matter who owns it. Okay. Yep.
Oh, any others, John?
For now,
if not, I
Chris.
Okay. Go ahead. So if we were to keep the plant and these upgrades are all set in place, and we start to fall behind with money, and let's say if we go out to referendum or whatever, can there be extensions on our time limits?
Yes.
So that we have enough time to get the money, or is it like set in stone?
Yep. It's never 100% set in stone. We would love if it were 100% set in stone, but we do know things come up. During the pandemic, almost every treatment plant upgrade that was ongoing could not get the parts, could not get anything. So they're all behind by 2 or 3 years at this point. You know, if money's an issue and you can show that you're doing everything you can to do the upgrades and still moving forward, DEEP is more than willing to work with towns to try and move things along. You know, whether right now we're getting extra money for, what's this one, Bill? You know, I don't know how we're going to be spending that, so I can't say that we can give you any. But, you know, I mean, I know that we're looking at different ways to get some of these plants that haven't been able to get upgraded in a while upgraded. You know, and if down 3 years from now, everybody's out of money, you know, then we would have to work with you and see what small things you could do to keep moving forward towards the goal. But maybe not, you know, spending $16 million at once or something, you know.
That's very helpful.
Thank you very much.
It's a dirty secret. We don't like to tell people, but yeah, we can extend. We can extend orders.
Right.
All right, it's not much swag with the paper if I tell you that I'm not going to do it.
Does anyone else from the committee have a question? All right, if not, Ian, I really want to thank you. I know it's difficult to get people to come on a Monday night.
I do have one, Jack. Jack, I have a question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Sorry, John. Are we delayed? I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Jack, you brought up a question concerning whether we can be successful in another referendum, knowing what referendum is like, whether we would be successful in another referendum, which would be required to another upgrade. And that if what would the scenario be if we were not successful? And Ann mentioned, and I'm just paraphrasing here, that the city could bond itself by its own, I guess, reserves. Can you explain that a little bit more, Ann?
Now we're getting out of my depth, and okay. I'd refer to the Clean Water Fund administrators, who is a whole nother group in our unit. But they worked with Naugatuck when they went to a referendum four times and got shot down each time. They worked with them to figure out how to bond a different way. And it had something to do with how it was written in their ordinance. That if they're under an order and they're required to do something, that they were able to bond it anyway without the referendum. And honestly, you're stretching my memory, you know, because that was probably 2009 or 2012. But I know our Clean Water Fund administrators worked with Naugatuck and got them going forward, moving forward. So.
Sounds like a question for the accountants and the lawyers.
Yeah, it's accountants and lawyers, you know, right. Lawyers, guns, and accountants, you know. it's outside of my yeah. engineering scope.
Appreciate that.
So, yeah. That.
All right. Well, Anna, again, I want to thank you for coming out. I know you already had your busy work day and you still found time for us, and I really do appreciate it. We've tried to be as progressive and honest with you throughout the process, and we appreciate you've done the same for us. So thank you very much.
And I'm going to listen to the purist side. So if you guys have any more questions at the end, like, that's fine too. So.
Absolutely. And I want to now introduce someone that I think most of the people from the Valley, at least in Derby, recognize, Jack Bukowski, who's one of the, is it commissioner? Is that the right title? Commissioner?
Right. Yeah. I'm actually vice chairman of public utilities.
Okay.
Nice.
And, you know, a lifelong Valley guy. And I appreciate him taking time out of his day. I know it's been a busy period up in Pure as well. And we just wanted, again, to understand both of the regulatory processes, not putting you on the spot to talk about any potential one we might have, but just if you could give us a feeling for how this works.
I will, Jack, and thank you very much. And hats off to all of you on this committee, because being living right up the street, as you know, in Beacon Falls, I've been involved in the local EDC for years, and it's a lot of volunteer time, and we certainly appreciate you doing that, as Adam said. So I want to kind of walk through the process. As Jack said, I don't want to get into the specifics of the case, because Pura, I'm like a judge. There's three of us. And ultimately, this application, if it's approved, will come before Pura. We are actually, Pura now is under the ANZ agency, Department of Energy and Environment Protection. Pura is a regulatory arm of that. That was set up by statute about 10 years ago. So we work collaboratively on a lot of these issues. And Ann talked about some of the other places that have privatized their WPCA. And one is Heritage Village is private, and that is in with Connecticut Water Company. And that's the water pollution and water, which we regulate. And New Hartford was just approved recently. And they do have an active application before us right now. So, and I should get that docket number to you, Jack, so you can kind of follow it through us. But I followed it because it's in our local paper. They've had a lot of push and tug up in New Hartford, and it took a while. So at some point, you might want to talk to the first selectman, Daniel Drame, up there to talk about the process they went through.
And we have, Jack, for your benefit, we have had the guy who was the chairman of the committee, I forget his name, we did have him come and speak to us
Months
ago. And of course, that was from his perspective. So, but it was helpful.
Again, beautiful.
Information as possible.
That's wonderful. So, and they, you know, they put a lot of work into it. And I think Ann was correct in terms of people. It's like it's like when Derby Savings Bank went away, right, Jack? I mean, people, everything's kind of local. Everybody wants everything local. And people don't want, or the old Ansoni Derby Water Company, which became Birmingham and now South Central Regional Water Authority. So people are very possessive of their utilities and of course of their banks. So the way this works is that if you go through and make a recommendation to sell it to ABC Company through a referendum, I think, and again, you could double check. John asked the question about, does it have to go through referendum? I think that the people would want that to happen. And I'm not sure legally who does, but I know that, again, New Hartford had a referendum, and it was a kind of a close vote, if I remember correctly, but they did get it approved. So then the application will come into us, and we were set up a docket number. And usually what happens is we have a coordinator that is assigned to the case. Aquarian or Connecticut Water, whoever would make that application to us. And then we would do our due diligence. We would go through a process. We have a very lengthy process. We're in the middle of an Aquarian Water Company rate case right now, which we're going to put a final approval in on Wednesday, and we're in the middle of the United Illuminating rate increase. And please don't yell at me about your electric rates tonight. So I love water.
So. How about my gas?
And gas too, right? But water's still a pretty darn good deal, anyway. So we go through the process. So there'll be another, once we make an application, there will be another hearing that we would conduct we will do our, and you can see that that's our old hearing room that I have as my my photo in back. But we function like a court. So people would come, Derby and whoever they decide to would come up jointly to New Britain and present our case. And we have engineers and finance people and attorneys and consumers. The Office of Consumer Counsel, which is a separate agency, might get involved in it as well. And you present your case. And we always want to look to make sure a company has the financial, managerial, and technical ability to do business in the state of Connecticut. In the past, we've had some companies that have come in to acquire larger companies and they've been turned down because they didn't have the financial wherewithal. I don't think anybody that's going to bid on this will be in that. I think everybody will be in the position from a financial and managerial and engineering standpoint, to handle it. So the process could take several months to do, because we want to give people their voice to come up, and we probably would come down to Derby and have a hearing in Derby to let the people weigh in on it. And that's when we have rate cases with United Illuminating and Aquarium. We go around to various towns in their catchment area. We would do the same for this. We would welcome public comment and written comment on it. And it's a very transparent process that people can follow. Again, I'm going to get that docket number to you on New Hartford, that people can follow. They can weigh in. They can send emails and become very much a part of the process. And eventually we would come up with a draft decision. And after we come up with a draft decision recommending the acquisition, we have so many days. And then we go to oral arguments where people can continue to come one more bite at the apple. Is it good or is it bad? Should we approve this acquisition? And then sometimes people don't quite like the way the decision's written, so people can weigh in. Lawyers representing the various stakeholders can weigh in with us and say they'd like to see change A, B, C, and D, and then we deliberate and we make those recommendations as we think are appropriate. So,
it's hey, Jack, can I just interrupt for a second? I just want to acknowledge that Charlie Sampson, a member of the committee, has joined us.
Hi, Charlie. I wish I got a quorum like this at my EDC meetings. This is very impressive the way people are showing up at this. But it's a very open process. It's a fair process. I mean, it gives people, you know, when you're looking at something like this, you know, you look at the private versus public basis, basically. And, you know, some people, and yeah, I heard the discussion earlier when you talked with Ann, that some of it, you might have a public-private partnership. You might just put an MOU together, memorandum of understanding together, and that would have to come up and be approved by us. So it's an open process. And so again, it would be a docket. We would set up a time schedule for beginning and end, when the hearing days would be, when briefs and reply briefs are due, when the decision itself comes up as a draft decision. So there's plenty of times for people to weigh into the process, which I think is good. And then we come up with after the oral arguments, we come up with the final decision. And that's made all three commissioners vote on that. So it's myself and Chairman Gillette and Michael Cairns, the other commissioner.
And again, how long do you think that whole process takes, just a ballpark?
90 days, 90 to 120 days. And you know, it depends, you know, that's it, Jack. It depends on the, how many people, for example, people might waive briefs or reply briefs. I mean, streamline the process. So we could probably turn it around in 90 days.
Okay. I have a question that when the approval comes down, does the approval at that point include approval of rates, or does that take place later?
No, that's rates. Rates would be included in the application. So the rate requests would come in through the application process.
Okay. And then I just have a couple of questions about that. It's my understanding, and I could be totally wrong, that this type of privatization, that the operator, as part of the formula you have for rates, is guaranteed a 7.5% profit. Maybe that's not the right term. I don't know.
But you are right. But that's always a pressure point. It's a debate. It depends upon how the numbers all work out, Jeff.
Okay.
So it could be higher. It could be lower. But some water companies, for example, the average is around 9%. But sometimes other parts of the country might be 9.5 or 9.75. So it depends how the numbers work out.
Okay, and does the rate include both the operating costs and capital infrastructure costs?
Yes.
Okay, and over what period of time do infrastructure costs get absorbed into rates? Is that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years?
It's usually over about 10 years.
10 years, okay.
10 years. And again, that would be part of the application that comes in. Maybe the company would get some outside, and infrastructure is the biggest cost to, you know, rather be electric or natural gas or water. Infrastructure is the biggest cost, and it's getting more and more expensive. Just the cost of digging up roads and replace the cost of pipe. So it depends. And so my point is, you might get it depends about the financing deal that comes in that's being proposed. It could be 10, it could be 15, it could be 20.
Okay, appreciate that. I see John has his hand up, so I'll let him ask a question.
Hi, Jack, how are you?
How are you, John?
Good, Jack, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
So a question, I'm impressed with the thoroughness that which Pura gets involved in the community opinion and comment. What is your experience been with the comments that people have made? Is it like, for example, we've always done it this way? We are possessive. This is the way it's going to be, or do they really consider all of the factors that involve the ability for the community to continue to service the utility?
That's a great question, John. And not only do we get that question, for example, when Aquarian or Connecticut Water is going to buy a smaller water company. Now, when I came on board, I've been around this commission for a long time. We had like 35 private investor-owned water companies in the state of Connecticut. Now we have like less than 10, because there's been a lot of acquisitions. There's been mergers in the Danbury, New Fairfield, Bethel area. There was like four or five small companies. They went out of the business, or they merged and they sold out. So to answer your question, I think that if the case is made, I think it's all on how you present the case. If the case is made that this is going to be financially better off to the citizens of Derby and to the town of Derby, people will be supported. But it's all how you package it and present it. It's like a political campaign. It's all how you present it to people. And we've been in a few of those political campaigns. You know how that goes. So we had up in Simsbury years ago, when Aquarian took them over, I mean, people really weren't crazy about selling their water company. And, you know, I remember being up at a hearing there with there were probably several hundred people there at the hearing. But it was turned around. It took a while, but through a lot of education, the company did a great job educating people and saying the long run was the best thing to do. And what was the big selling point was the cost, the potential cost of the infrastructure in the future. Now, what that was going to mean.
No. Okay. Anyone else from the committee? Well, I guess
Jack and call me Jack. Call me anything. Believe me, when Jack calls, we jump in up in New Britain. So
Well, John, all's well that works out in the end. So I do appreciate it. And we did have a few gaffes along the way, but
I'm delighted to be here. And I know this is a huge decision, and anything I can do to help, Ann and I both are here to assist you as you go through the way. And I'll be watching in the valley, because I'll be watching in the local paper, see what's going on. So, but anything we could do to facilitate it, let us know.
And I did put the docket number yeah, and the link to it in the chat so that you guys have it.
Oh, good. For New Hartford?
Yep, that's for New Hartford.
Oh, good. Thank you, Ann. Perfect.
No problem.
And you know, John, when we started this whole process, looking at options for Derby WPCA, before we ever got to the privatization, we had done a regional study, and Beacon Falls was part of that process when we started. They were one of the communities, but they opted out early on because they had their own solution. So,
well, they should have opted it off the record. They should have opted in, because I know we're standing on a huge. My brother, as you know, is a selectman up there. I know there's a lot of money.
Difficult. Okay, I want to thank you, and we're going to move on now to an executive session. So
we can sign off.
Okay,
it was
great seeing y'all.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you.
Jack. Nice to see you.
Good luck, everybody.
Thank you. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
All right, now I would ask for a motion from the committee members to go into executive session with the committee and invite our representatives from Raftellis and Weston and Sampson into the executive session.
So move, Charlie Sampson. And Dennis was also on here too, was he not? Dennis?
Yeah, Cascino. I said we're going to invite him. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. I didn't mention him. Yep. So it includes Dennis as well, our attorney. Do I hear a second for the motion?
Second
by Chris.
Chris.
Yes. Yeah. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I missed somebody. John, you in favor? Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? All right. So we're going to move into executive session. I'm going to stop this recording, or I'm going to pause this recording and give the people who are not going into executive session. All right, can I have a motion to come out of executive session at 7:57?
So moved, Charlie Sampson.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second, Chris.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, we're back in regular session, and I'd ask for the next motion on meetings.
Jack, Charlie Sampson, I'd like to make a motion that this committee meets hopefully one more time on April 5th at 6:30 in the PM for the anticipated acceptance of the committee's recommendation to the city.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I second. Chris Carlone.
Okay. Well, you're both there quick. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? All right, we are officially adjourned at 7:58. I can stop the recording now.